to guests who are with us today, let me set the scene. For a few weeks in our worship, we're looking at a modern creed, a modern confession of faith. In days and centuries gone by, the church's creeds were the ultimate and defining word on what Christians were meant to believe. The Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, the Westminster Confession, believe these things and you're in. Believe them not, and you're not an official, proper, fully signed up Christian. In fact, whisper it, you might just be a heretic. In centuries gone by, creeds kept the church tidy. They imposed order, coherence. Everybody wearing the same strip, playing in the same team, kicking in the same direction kind of thing. But things have changed over the centuries, in our society at least. And we are not so passive and biddable anymore. We're not so keen on being told what to do and where to go or what to believe. Don't like your electricity supplier? Then dump him and go find a new one. Not happy with the service at the hotel you stayed in? Then complain at reception and make sure you get a refund. Don't like the political stalemate of your council or your country? Then set up a new party and shake up the system. We live in an age of some kind of non-conformity. In fact, non-conformity just might be becoming the new conformity, but let's not go there this morning. I'm just making the point that once upon a time, individuals and society were more sheep-like, more passive, easier to round up and put in certain meadows where our betters thought we should be. But not now. We are individuals, we are consumers, and that is as true for what we believe as for who we vote for, or which energy supplier we have, for or who we get our TV, radio, Wi-Fi from. We are the person who chooses. We are the consumer. We are the individual. Which is why a minister and chaplain called Marjorie McCaskill wrote her own creed, the one that we're looking at for a few weeks. It's her own declaration of faith. She wrote it just a few years ago. And then she put it out there, social media. She wasn't saying everyone must believe this or you're damned for all time and not worthy of the title Christian. She just said, this is kind of what I believe. I've tried to put it in the words. Does it chime a little or a lot with what you believe? And the part of her creed which interests us today is contained at the bottom of our service sheet, and I just want us to consider one word of it. She writes, I believe in God, present in the world, not absent or detached from it, though elusive. He is as near as our latest breath, and he experiences life with us. And the word which tickles my fancy, and perhaps yours, is elusive. What is elusive doing in a confession of faith? A confession of faith is a creed. It's a document which is meant to offer clarity and conviction, perhaps even certainty. A creed doesn't say perhaps, or maybe, or could be, or see what you think. That's wimpy language. That's sitting on the fence language. God either is or isn't. And if he is, then let's thunder it from the rooftops and spell it out in 72-point Gothic bold type. Big stuff. Nevertheless, Marjorie McCaskill, in her creed, says that there's something about Almighty God which is elusive. Let's play with the words just for a few moments, that one word. For clarity's sake, elusive is not the same as evasive. Evasive has hints of shiftiness, of hiding something. Watch this hand so you don't see what the other hand is doing. Evasive might be the stall holder at the Glasgow Barras explaining to the nice policeman how he happens to be in possession of 20 Mulberry handbags and some genuine Victoria Beckham jackets. That would be evasive. But elusive is not evasive. Elusive is elusive, you might say. Elusive has hints of hiding, but not for any malevolent or harmful reason. It's a kind of hide and seek, maybe. In fact, hide and seek, as kids play it, is a strange and wonderful game, because the real fun of hide and seek is when you're found. Someone hides, of course, and they try to hide really well. But the climax of the game is in being found. It's as fun for the one who is discovered as for the one who does the discovering. If there is an elusive quality in hide and seek, and children get that, they also get that it's no fun at all if someone hides up a tree and is bored out of their mind for 4 hours while everybody else has given up after 40 minutes. Elusive is good. Impossible to find is bad. So what if God does elusive and waits only to be found? Wants to be found. I don't know if this makes sense, but some years ago, I went to meet my oldest daughter, Jane, at St. Andrews. She was studying feminist spirituality at St. Mary's, the theological faculty. And like all good theological faculties, ancient and modern, it was a stone's throw away from a pub. And we agreed to meet in the pub. I got there early, walked in and looked around. A couple of people buried in newspapers at corner tables, and a frankly astonishingly beautiful woman perched on a stool at the bar. But no Jane, no sign of her. I looked around again. My gaze returned to the beautiful woman at the bar, wearing, as I recall, a red dress and with long blonde hair cascading down her shoulders. And then to my utter astonishment, I realized it was my daughter. You know, how did that happen? I asked myself. When did grunge surrender to grace? And when did a can of Skull Crusher Lager give way to a cocktail glass? It happened somewhere. But that was my daughter, and she hadn't clocked me arriving. So I just stood there watching her in wonder and love and astonishment for what seemed an eternity. But it was maybe just 90 seconds. Was I the one being elusive at that moment? Not fully revealing myself, hiding in plain sight, wanting rather to behold a much-loved child, knowing for sure that a full embrace was not far away. In that sense, does God sometimes choose to be elusive with us? Full of love and joy, the recognition in him complete and total, the moment of recognition in us, maybe, just a heartbeat away. Switch it around. Look at it from another angle. My daughter, you could say, was hiding in plain sight. I couldn't see her at all. And then when I did see her, I couldn't imagine how I hadn't seen her before. So what if God hides in plain sight? Not to be evasive, but to be elusive. To invite us, to coax us into leaving behind our trinkets and our money-making and our silly power games, and instead seek for the only thing that ever really matters. What if God hides in plain sight? Because as those Old Testament prophets knew, it's impossible to see the full glory of God and live. So there are biblical stories of hearing God's voice, of seeing God's back, of meeting his angels, but a full-on one-to-one with the Almighty? Absolutely not. That just doesn't happen. It would blow us away. The Old Testament prophets knew that. Some say Moses saw God face to face, but it's all happening in a cloud and you're left to wonder. So what if God hides in plain sight? In a disguise which is not a deception, but which allows us in moments of illumination to realize, as Marjorie McCaskill puts it, that God is present in the world, not absent or detached from it. Though elusive, he's as near as our latest breath. So who is the baby son of a peasant couple born in an outhouse in Bethlehem, if not God, hiding in plain sight? And who is the man sitting with friends and family at a wedding celebration where the very best wine is saved till the last? Who is that, if not God, hiding in plain sight? And who is the man hanging bloodied and broken on a cross while some weep and others mock, if not God, hiding in plain sight? What if God is elusive? Not because he seeks to avoid us or neglect us, but because he refuses to intimidate us into belief, refuses to bully us into discipleship. What if God is always there, just waiting for that moment of recognition on our part? As when I suddenly realized that the beautiful woman in the bar at St. Andrews was, in fact, my daughter, a child no more. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, says the writer of Isaiah, with a sense of awe and wonder and perhaps some exasperation. But it is the book of Isaiah which also contains the most glorious promise that one day God will reveal himself as never before. God in human flesh, a Savior, a Messiah, whom some will recognize and others will not. So that elusive quality remains. For a God of love will not bludgeon his way into any human heart, but waits to be recognized and hides in plain sight till the game of hide and seek is complete and the one who is hiding and the one who is searching find delight in each other's presence. One final thought in this elusive thing, this hide and seek thing. One of the funniest things I've ever seen was some very, very small children playing hide and seek. An adult had explained the rules. One child was to close his eyes. The adult would count to 30, whilst the other children would run away and hide. Then, on reaching the magic number 30, the chosen one would open his eyes and go looking for the hiding, elusive others. But one of the wee ones playing this game kept missing the basic ground rules. He was meant to run and hide. Instead, he hunched his back and shoulders, clenched his hands, closed his eyes tight. And as far as he was concerned, he was invisible. He was hiding. I can't see me, so how can anybody else see me? There's a sort of logic there somewhere. No, John, said the adult patiently. You have to go and hide somewhere. I am hiding, he said. Look, same thing. Just as John, little John, rather misunderstood what was going on, maybe we sometimes misunderstand what God is about. He hides, but hides in plain sight. He hides because sometimes we only really discover what is precious in this life if we have to search for it. He hides in plain sight because he is not absent or detached from this world, but very much at the heart of all things. He hides in plain sight so that for every person at any moment, that moment of recognition can happen and could happen. That moment when faith says, I get it, I see it, I understand. This is a very honest creed we're looking at. Honest enough to say that God can seem to be elusive. And honest enough to recognize that it is actually God in Christ who seeks us out for love's sake. So glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning and is now and ever shall be. Amen.